It's as American as apple pie, the open road, and the 4th of July, and has become a little post-Christmas tradition for me and my family, paint by number. Cultural elites tend to revile it, but it's a 1950s-era creation that has transcended its place in time to become a metaphor for mass culture. The hobby has been celebrated by pop artist Andy Warhol, exhibited in the Louvre, and used in various political commentary, such as an unfinished paint-by-number of President Johnson's face in 1967 by an Esquire magazine artist to speak to an unfinished presidency. In the last decade, the Smithsonian recognized the hobby as an American phenomenon with a dedicated paint-by-number exhibition at the National Museum of American History. Paint-by-number kits hit the shelves in 1951, and within a few years, millions were sold to a hungry public, selling the democratic idea that anyone can be an artist. With the economic prosperity of the 1950s, many Americans sought new leisure with rising incomes and shorter working hours, and paint by number was an easy way for so-called non-artists to test the waters. Critics called the hobby a violation of art and creative expression. However, in the midst of the art world's pushback, art supply retailers estimated that 10% of paint-by-number hobbyists graduated up to begin purchasing other supplies to begin to create their own original work. The hobby served as a gateway for many in making painting accessible. I remember the very first paint-by-number that I took on. I was around 6 years old, and it was a large paint kit of Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. As kitschy as that sounds, it did teach me a great deal about color theory, art history, and even teaching my young hands the behavior and appropriate handling of oil paints. While curating exhibitions at UNCW's Bozeman Gallery years ago, I linked the campus common reading at the time about futuristic cloning to an art exhibition focused on identical paint-by-number paintings. I printed 25 large paint-by-number canvases of Van Gogh sunflowers and allowed 25 different students to develop their own unique color palette assignments using identical number layouts. The result was an exhibition of cloned paintings with unique and diverse personalities. Some paintings skewed to monochromatic and grayscale. Some were fiery reds, blues, and mixes of exotic colors. It reinforced the reading's premise that clones were unique and their own person. I sat at the dining room table this past weekend, working on a Wild West paint-by-number scene of a cowboy on a bronco in the American prairie, given to me by my younger brother Joel. I enjoyed the almost meditative escape, and little by little, I watched a picture of vibrant color slowly fade together in front of my very eyes.